you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? A great episode of the SDR show this week. It is Zaid Wolf. You may not know him, but I'll tell you this. You know his music. Go to Spotify, look him up before you start this episode, and you'll see dozens of songs with like 20, 30 million listens. The dude has over 1,000 songs in movies and TV shows and video games. You've played games and you've heard this dude's stuff, and he does an incredible live performance this week. Really one of my favorites, I think, in a long time to watch that song live. It was great. I will say this. Something odd happens, but nothing bad. It's just weird. It's never happened before, but you have to listen to the whole episode if you want to know what I'm talking about. James Mattern steps in as the co-hosting duties this week, but I will say Big J's back next week, I think, for both shows. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he'll be in for both shows next week. We do it every single Wednesday, every single Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You go to gasdigitalnetwork.com/live, and you could watch it there and you know, as it happens. But if you want to support the show, get it early, commercial-free, you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR. You get 20% off. You get a 7-day free trial. You could have heard this episode 5 days earlier. And it's just a great way to support us and what we're doing for you. But really, all I care about is spreading the love. Get the word out there about the SDR show. We just finished, not to brag, I think our 2 best months ever. So thank you all for being a part of spreading the infection. Is that right? I don't know. But here it is right now, the Zaid Wolf episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me today is James Mattern back again. Shannon is in the studios looking a little. Are you verklempt about something, Shannon? Something bothering you?
I'm so stressed out preparing for leaving life for 4 days that's right. Everything is just weighing on me.
Quick question, because Shannon is going away to St. Martin's. Shannon, did you get the insurance that was $30 a person that you have to get? It's the biggest scam on the planet.
I did, yeah, but you have to. So yeah.
You have to. Yeah, I had to do that when I went to St. Martin. Okay, anyway, so now. Yeah. Very excited to have this man here. I always get happy when this type of scenario happens, which is I kind of knew who you were a little bit, right? And then you do some research and you're like, oh, shit, this dude's pretty cool. So it is Dustin right Burnett, otherwise known as Zaid Wolf. How are you, buddy? How's everything?
Man, I'm doing great, actually. The sun is shining in Nashville today, and it's a beautiful day. I'm feeling great. Been in the studio the last couple of days working on some live recorded stuff, and I'm a little burned out right now, but I'm feeling awesome.
I also like the Guns N' Roses shirt. Did I introduce James too, or is my brain farting? I did introduce James, right?
Yeah, man. It was just a chill one. It's cool. I just put my arms up for the video. It's okay, cool. I didn't cut a promo like a wrestler. It all works out.
So without getting into anything yet, let's just start with the fact that you, above all else, I believe, is known for producing incredible music. We'll get into the band you started with, and then, you know, the new album that's coming out, but first and foremost, your music is licensed out the yin yang, like hundreds of videos, like TV shows, movies. Like the Shout cover that was in Cloak and Dagger. I remember hearing that when I watched that show. So you are known as this great music creator. So I thought it would be interesting to hear right off the bat. You just heard our intro.
Yeah.
Shit on it. What do you think? Let's hear it.
Honestly, I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, I feel like it's the best representation of the show, as far as I know, you know.
All right. Well, that's very nice of you, because we get fans at this point, because that intro has been with us for about, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 years now, and people want updated. So I was thinking of doing a new version of it. But if you say it's good, I mean, come on now.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, I felt like if it was any more serious, it just wouldn't be a representation of, you know, this nonsense that goes on.
I will take that as a huge compliment, sir.
Yeah, man, for sure.
All right. So let's start with what I've learned. You have been one of these people that music is kind of in you. 5-6 years old, you sat at a piano and you just tried to kind of figure it out even on your own. And I saw you said in an interview that you thought your parents were lying until your kids did the same thing. Is that true?
Yeah, so true. Yeah, my especially my son right now, and my son and my two youngest kids are so into it right now. And it's like all of a sudden the switch just clicked on them. And I was like, wow, these kids are like, are they just brilliant children? And everyone kind of thinks of that, you know, about their own kids. But I was like, wow, now I sort of understand kind of what my mom would always say to me. And I was like, oh, mom, you're full of crap, you know, whatever. But she, yeah, I see what she meant now.
You know, it's funny. We had Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction on the show not that long ago.
Wow.
And he has two kids that are both trying to get into music as well. And he said flat out, it was one of them like 19. I think the other one's 20, 21. And he said, you know, they're not ready yet, but they'll be ready soon. So it was interesting to hear him be so honest about his kids. Because usually every parent says their kid's in the 90 something percentile of whatever. I don't know where all the idiots are, but every kid's always the most brilliant kid ever. So it was nice to see him being honest, saying, yeah, they're good, but they're not record ready yet. Like they're not there yet.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, that, I just love to see my kids just being creative in their own way right now. I just think that's so special, you know.
Yeah, what's a good idea though? If they actually like play a note wrong or something, a good idea is to just smack them upside the head as hard as you can, because that's how they learn.
And that's how the real music industry is.
Yeah, you set them up for the real industry. So that segues nicely into what you had a band called The October, right? And for being honest, I guess it didn't really take off the way you had hoped, and you were gonna leave the industry, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, when I was in my 20s in this band, we toured and we did showcases for major labels, recorded, you know, tons of songs and stuff like that. And then there's a point where it was like, you know, people kept leaving their jobs at the A&Rs that liked us. And we were like, this is just not going anywhere. And I don't really want to be a singer anymore. I don't like that pressure. I'm more interested in sort of working behind the scenes, producing, you know, helping people if I can on music. And so I just kind of dropped out being a singer for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then, it was kind of heartbreaking at the time, but I felt like I just need to quit music. My wife and I were living in Kentucky at the time, and I almost got this job at a chemical plant. I had a job lined up for me through her dad and through another family friend. And he was like, the family friend called me up like the day before my interview. And he was like, hey, look, you don't want to go in and take this interview. He's like, you need to go take another shot at what you're doing, what you love to do. And so, we sold our house like a couple months later and moved to Nashville and just started grinding it out down here.
And that's the guy that said, I can always get you this job if you need it.
Yeah, but right.
Go move to fucking Nashville and give it a try.
So, that's the same guy. Yeah. Richard. He's passed away now. But we had a moment about a year before he passed away and talked about that. And I thanked him for kind of kicking my pants and getting me going again.
That's pretty crazy, because in theory, you could be working at a chemical plant right now, right? I mean, that could have happened without that push.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And it becomes a question that, I mean, you go through this a lot, you know, in a serious note, like, especially, you know, with comedy, with music, with anything in the arts, so to speak, or even in any job, how long do you give it before you say, okay, this is not for me, I gave it my all, and for all you know, that next day could have been the day where you made it, and you gave up. So you actually, you were leaving it, and then you came back, and you creeped in an interesting way where it was drum beats first. Am I right with that?
Yeah, so I moved to town, and that's so true what you're saying as well. It's like, at what point do you stop? It's such a hard question, and I think that's like, that question is sort of an enigma in itself. Like, there's no real answer to that.
By the way, according to the fans of this show, Dustin, it's about 5 years ago for me is when I should have stopped.
For sure. When we moved to Nashville here, I teamed up with a friend of mine that I met, a guy from Australia named Paul Mabry. And he's a drummer, and I really love to record drums. And so we started working on recording drum beats and drum samples that other music producers could use in their songs. We grew that company for a while, and kind of during that process, my my reputation and Paul's reputation grew as well as creators. And that sort of kind of started putting one foot in front of another foot a little bit once we got into town. And ultimately, we ended up partnering and selling that business to Splice, which is a big music company in New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I guess the question would be like, so you're doing these drum beats, and I guess they're being mm-hmm. well received, right? Or else you wouldn't have been doing it. But at some point, I guess you're hearing these beats in other songs and they're getting more and more popular. And you say to yourself, well, why the fuck do I not try and do this again? Is that what happened?
A little bit. I was still producing some along the way. You know, I was still recording independent bands and working on stuff. I was working with a couple of groups who started getting some songs licensed on television shows and on commercials and things like that. So I was a small portion of that. And I started thinking to myself that I really like this angle. And I think that it's a good way for independent artists to actually start some revenue going for them. Because if you can get a couple of songs out there like that as an independent, it allows you to maybe afford new songs. Maybe it's some new touring gear. It's all these things that it's really hard at the beginning to kind of, you know, get that first nest egg of money going for yourself. So as I started working on some songs for a new project, and I was going to team up with this other guy, he was going to sing it and I was going to produce it. But I was kind of writing all the songs and singing all the lines and everything here in the studio. And then he needed to move away, and it didn't work out for, you know, for what's going on in that. And so I showed the songs to my wife, and she's like, you really need to just finish these out. These are really great songs. And so I finished a couple of them out, and I sent a couple of them over to my friend Jessica, who is she's at Lyric House in LA. She does a lot of licensing. So I sent her a couple of the songs, and I put the name Zayd Wolf on it because she knew me as a music producer and as someone who helped develop some artists and some things that she had done before. And I wanted like honest feedback from her. So when I gave her the songs, I didn't want to put Dustin Burnett on there. So I put Zayd Wolf, and
which is
basically
a baby's name that you didn't use, correct?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right too. So she grabbed a hold of that, and she was like, hey, I think I got a spot for this already. I'd love to pitch it. And I was like, hey, go ahead. And, you know, maybe 4 days went by, and she was like, hey, we got this spot for this new TV show. It pays, I don't know, I think it was like $20,000.
I can tell you this. It was $25,000. I do my research.
Okay. Yeah, it was like that. And, you know, I was like, okay, whoa. So I went and told my wife, and she was like, okay, get back up in the studio. And Jessica was like, so who's Zayd? She was like, so who's Zayd Wolf? And I was like, well, it's me. And she's like, get back in the studio. So, you know, these ladies were telling me what they needed right then.
That's really interesting. That's cool, because you were getting honest feedback. How fucking heartbreaking would if she would have said, I don't know who this fucking Zayd Wolf idiot is, but man, is that a rough song. Thank God it went the other way.
Thank God, right?
James?
Yeah, I got a question here. So when when you hear your beat somewhere, like let's say the old world, when you're out eating or at a party with people and like a commercial comes on and it's your beats, do you stop everyone? Because that's shit comedians do. I ain't going to front. I used to go in when I'd be on TV locally and be like, oh, who's that handsome guy? And see if I could get numbers. I ain't going to front. I'm a simple man.
That's hilarious. No, it's a lot. It's cool. No, I rarely do that. I don't try to advertise myself.
You know why? Also, because he's married, James. You're not married. What's he going to get out of that? You know,
he's a humble human too. He seems like a good guy.
I may have told this story on the show, so I apologize. But years ago, I was a strip club DJ for a long time, and what's his name? David Bryan, who is the keyboard player from Bon Jovi. I don't know if I've ever told the story on the show. Shannon, have I? Do you remember or no?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. So we were instructed as DJs at the strip club, whenever a celebrity comes in, like a musician or an actor, you got to play what they're known from. So if it's an actor, a song from the movie they were in. If a musician, you got to play. So we had to play Bon Jovi, and I'm playing Bon Jovi, and this moron, he is the keyboard player in the band, is air keying his own song. And I'm like, douchebag, that's what I should be doing. We all know you're you. It was so stupid.
It's so good.
So, James, maybe next time don't stop everybody to say, hey, look at that handsome fuck.
Well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I haven't been on TV in a couple of years. I mean, if this podcast plays somewhere visually, I'll be like, yo, you see me in that Expo shirt? What up? I'm bringing them back, baby.
So let me ask you this. Do you prefer, I mean, your name is Dustin. The group is Zaid Wolf, even though it's really kind of a solo anyway.
Right.
You're not turning into the Marilyn Manson type where you're like, no, man, call me Zaid. Do you separate the two? How does that all work in your mind?
It's cool. I mean, I feel like that Zaid Wolf is me, but I'm not necessarily Zaid Wolf. So like, it's very separated for me for the most part. There are some people who, if they don't know me personally, you know, they're going to come up to me and they're going to call me Zaid, and that's cool, man. But yeah, for friends and family, no one is coming around and saying that unless they're just trying to, you know, take the piss or something like that.
Right. Well, we had that. We had someone from Marilyn Manson's band on a few years ago.
Okay.
He passed away, unfortunately. But he said he knew that his time in the band was over when Brian, a.k.a. Marilyn Manson, said off air, no, always call me Marilyn. My name's Marilyn Manson. And his name was Brian, but he became Marilyn Manson. And he said that was the day he knew it wasn't going to be much longer before he was no longer in the band. You don't have that problem.
Yeah.
You're solo anyway. So who are you going to fire? Yourself? You
can't do that. Yeah, you know, ego is a tricky thing, right? It's a tricky thing. And it can come after any of us. I just try, you know, I want to try to stay humble, be kind to people, and have fun with that, you know, the Zaid component. Let it be this sort of, you know, bombastic, kind of inspiring, you know, go get them kind of guy, you know, and I don't have to be that all the time. I can
That's
just
great.
You know,
so now,
chill out, you know.
I read that at this point you have songs in hundreds of movies, TV shows, video games, etc. Like just hundreds. Is that about right?
Yeah. I don't know the exact number of total licenses we've had at this point, but I believe we're, you know, into the thousands at this point.
Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So now a couple of questions about that. First, what pays better, movie, TV shows, or video games?
Big advertisements probably pay the best, like, you know, a car commercial or something like that. Those tend to have some really amazing budgets for those things. But it's been cool. I feel like some of the more fun things that I've been able to be a part of are some of my, you know, being a part of things with sports teams and stuff.
Right.
I
like
love
you're a
sports.
Walkout song for a couple of teams, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Did that. And the, you know, the Cubs used my songs back to back. They had me up one time. They asked me to throw out the first pitch at the freaking ball game.
Wow.
It's like, they gave me a jersey with my name on the back. It's just like,
did it say Dustin
like
or Zaid?
Like, it says Zaid on the, Zaid Wolf on the back.
Dope.
Yeah. And I mean, I still get chills about that right now. It's like, it's stuff like that is such a surreal thing. I grew up in the southern part of Illinois, so, you know, Cubs were always on our radar as kids, even though we're pretty far from Chicago. To be able to go to Wrigley and do that is like, I mean, that dirt has been there for so long. It's the same. People have been playing that ball game on that same dirt for so long. It's real special.
So is that the one, like, that was one of my questions. When you think about all the different places your songs have shown up, is that the one that really sticks out as the most important one to you?
I don't know about necessarily important. It's kind of hard to sort of put them into some kind of rating system, but like some of those, I think just because of some of the sports things that I grew up watching and being into, and NBA games and just some of that stuff is just really cool.
And do you, because I imagine at this point now you're one of the go-to guys for this, you know, because your music is so bombastic and femic, like it just has such this large sound. Do you have any sort of curation or looking at process of like when they come to you and say, hey, we want to use your song for this, do you make sure it's something that's in line with your belief system, or you just want the money, or if it's a video game you don't care? Like, you know, is there certain criteria that you look for to say, okay, this is fine?
Yeah, my licensing team at Lyric House does a really good job of going through and making sure all that stuff is very curated. I mean, everything has to pass through them for usage. And if anything feels like, is this a brand we want to be associated with? And we talk about it and stuff, you know.
Yeah, you're a sports fan. So, like, have you ever turned down any teams you don't like? Like, I grew up at the University of Arizona. So if them sons of bitches offer me like 200,000 and I'm broke, I'm just not going to eat. I'm going to be like that. I'll go Panabla, straight up to Arizona. UNLV boy, baby.
That is so good, man. That is so good. No, I haven't discriminated on any sports teams yet. A lot of times they come in, you know, sports teams or let's say a television network is, they'll pre-clear four or five songs that they want to use for something. Like we had a song after the weekend played the Super Bowl, the song that came on right after the after they came back was mine. They did this whole montage about the first half. And, wow.
And yeah, did you know that was going to happen? Or you're sitting there watching Super Bowl, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, basically, I knew that they had pre-cleared some potential songs, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything at that point. It's just like, we want the option to be able to use these. We don't know if it's going to happen, whatever. So yeah, well, I was sitting around, we were actually filming the music video for Holy Water in Atlanta.
Which comes out this week, right?
Yeah, which comes out this week. Yeah, we were filming the video for that in Atlanta. And so we were sitting there with the two directors for the music video and another buddy of mine. And we were watching the game and just like having a few drinks. And we watched the weekend. We were kind of chatting and it came on. And my buddy was like, wait a second, that's your song. And he turns it up real loud in there.
Wow. Is your friend Cat Williams? Because that's what that sounded like to me. So, by the way, I was trying to see if I could get clearance for the, you know, the Ralph Sutton Eastern European Fund of Hot Women, but obviously that's not going to be something that'll go through clearance, I imagine.
Oh, man. You guys are crushing it.
So let's go back to the early days. Your first thing that you did, that you recorded, you did a 22-song punk album in a day, which is crazy. You've always been a punk fan. Was that just something you needed to get out of your system? Where did that come from?
Oh yeah, that was the first album, the first thing I got hired to produce. I mean, I was maybe, this is before that, I was in the October. When I was a teenager, I was super interested in the recording process, and I was really fortunate to be able to hang around with some people who really knew what they were doing. And I would make trips to Nashville and learn about stuff and come back home. And a guy had a recording studio not far from my house, about a 45-minute drive, back when I was living in Kentucky. And this band come up and they were like, hey, we like how your stuff that you've recorded sounds. Would you be interested in recording our punk band? And I love the guys. They're great guys. I was like, let's do it. I was like, how many songs do you have? They're like, oh, about 20 something. And I was like, how much money do we have and how many days? They're like, we can do it all in one day. Most of the songs were like that real quintessential, real old school pop punk where they were a minute and a half long or something,
right? Like
that.
The old Ramones songs that were like,
yeah, very yeah. much like that. They were super inspired by that era of stuff. So it was fun. It was a great time.
So my next question is that because you were originally in a band, you're a producer, most of these people like that mindset, you don't like being the center of attention. You don't want to be the front man, the one that the video is focusing on. Did you have to get over that, or was that something that just came naturally for you? Did you have to figure out how to be a quote unquote lead guy? You know, what was that like?
Yeah, it's been on and off for me, to tell you the truth. Even when I was a little kid, my grandmother was a photographer, and so she was always taking pictures of us and was like always getting us to ham it up in front of the camera and everything. And then my brothers and I, when we were young, we got this old VHS camera that we'd have. We'd make movies and we would do funny stuff as kids do with it. And so I think it was on and off for me. I think there was a point in time where I was like, I was just kind of tired of the pressure of trying to do that. And so that's kind of why I would just turn it off. And I may do that again at some point. I may just be like, this is enough for me and I'm cool. But yeah, so it's been on and off for me. I'm enjoying it now. I'm embracing it now. You know, with Zayd Wolf, the music video for Holy Water has a lot of me featured in it. It's the most that we've ever done. I'm performing every instrument in the music video, and wow. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
So as you've lose over time, it seems that I would imagine, you know, production styles have changed. Obviously, I mean, I don't know who came around first with the sound, but obviously it feels, Imagine Dragony, some of your songs, right? I don't know if that is even a term that people use, but Imagine Dragony, I'll go with. Have you changed, like you look back at some of the songs you produced or for yourself even a few years ago to now, Do you feel that you've completely changed your sound? Is it an obvious evolution with how you've did it then to now?
You mean between like the other bands that I was in or from the beginning of Zayd Wolf?
From the beginning of Zayd Wolf till now, because obviously the other stuff were different vibes. But as Zayd Wolf, when you think about that first song you released that Jessica said, all right, we'll use this in a movie to now, how much have you changed? Because you play all the instruments now, you're doing everything. Did that change your sound?
Yeah, I think so, because I was experimenting all the time. So, and I want to evolve. I want to keep some of the core things there that I love about the songs and the way that, some of the messages about, empowering people and just crushing through situations. But I also want to be innovative. I really want to be 70 years old and still be innovating something in some way. I just want to just continue to do that. And I think everyone can. It's like, there's no real reason to stop trying to improve who you are or something about you or challenge yourself into something new. I don't ever really want to have that as in like an off switch. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's great. I mean, it's always, I feel that true artists always feel like the need to continually to create and to evolve. Mm. Are you asked all the time to produce for other people, to create songs or work with other people?
Yeah, quite a bit, but I have to say no a lot now. I just don't have the bandwidth for everything that I kind of want to get into, right. But that's okay too. It's okay. I've learned that saying no is all right, and I can do it in a way that, is not like I'm a jerk. I can't do anything with you. It's just, it's hard. You got to make time for yourself. You got to make time for family and also just concentrate on this wave that Zayd Wolf is building and stuff like that.
And so look, here's my pitch. You ready? I want to put out an album.
Let's do it.
I have no musical ability.
Okay.
I cannot sing.
Okay.
But I really believe in myself.
Okay.
So you ready to do this?
We got it.
I'm excited. We just made a record deal with Zayd Wolf, for God's sake, James.
I think this may be the beginning of a new theme song.
Oh, I would. By the way, that would be fucking incredible. How cool would that be? God damn it, that would be amazing.
Ralph, I just put out a song, though. You know that, right? This is the irony.
Do you have a song that Shannon could pull up and we can play it and he could rip on it?
Yeah, New York Comedy Club recorded three comedians' bits with a band, and I have a song called Peanut Allergy.
Is it somewhere that Shannon could pull up online or no?
Baby, it's on the Spotify's.
Wow, you say it like you make yourself sound like 107, the Spotify.
Yeah, because I've been a 90-year-old man for 43 years, baby.
All right, let's see if Shannon can find it.
Oh, this is unbelievable. I'm not going to look, though. This is what I'm going to do. I don't want to see your face. All right, love this guy.
I'm talking to Zayd, because Zayd's going to be more of an honest person. Dustin's too nice of a guy. Zayd, I want you to listen to this as if someone came to you and said, hey, I want you to think about producing this guy's next full-length record.
Okay. All right.
Don't care about James. Turn the camera off so they will look at you. No, don't do that. I think that's bad.
No, it's okay. I want the real. But
no, it's bad for the recording, I think, if you turn your camera off. Right, Shannon? I think it is.
Fine.
Is that, okay.
I just don't know how to look for this.
Can I play it?
Yeah, if you share your audio. I looked up Stand Up New York. I looked up Peanut Allergy.
Peanut Allergy.
It's so.
It's New York Comedy Club. New York Comedy Club Sessions. Peanut Allergy. James Matter.
This song is. It's probably so bad the Spotify algorithm can't even pick it up.
First of all,
I found it on YouTube.
I found it. But that's the full video problem. I mean, guys, it's on the spot. I mean, what are we doing?
Shannon's got it. All right, here we go.
I hope the cup works again, sir. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, this is too good. Too good. Oh,
sorry. Hold on.
I'm so excited for this.
Me too, Ralph.
Can you hear it?
I hear it.
Oh. Oh. Slaps. Oh. Oh. Sound effects.
I'm about to utter something that's never been said before. Man, I feel real bad for you millennials. That's right, baby. Everyone blames you for everything. Everyone thinks you're the people who created food allergies that they never existed before you. Everyone my age and older always screams, back in my day, we never had food allergies. Well, guess what? I'm from back in your day, baby. 1978. And I have a peanut allergy. That's right. I feel like I was an AA meeting. Just admitted it.
I was patient zero.
He's enough torture.
A peanut allergy.
Good. We're good. We're good. I think, you've heard enough. James, don't turn your camera on yet. Let's hear from Zaid Wolf. What did you say, Shannon?
I really want to see James's face, though.
My favorite. Let me just start with my favorite part. My favorite part is
when Shannon hit stop.
I couldn't tell if it was a song or if it was like some kind of whoopee cushion sound effect that was in there. I don't really know what that was.
Well, he looks angry. Look how angry he is.
No, man, I'm good. This is great. First of all, you clowned. You didn't get to the hook. It's fine. It's the song's fucking wonderful. I don't need anyone's things. It's comedy, spoken word. The band's good. I didn't play the music. Fine, but they're still great. You don't feel that energy? Dustin, you're going to run wind sprints after this goddamn,
I'm ready. I'm really just thinking about that. I was thinking about my next trip to New York while that was going on. And I was going to ask where you're going to take me out for a beer and where we're going to hang out.
Baby, I'll go to Nashville fucking the minute I get my second vaccine.
But I'll tell you what, what I learned is this, wherever you go, make sure there's no peanuts there because that might harm James.
No doubt, man. I don't want to hurt him.
Yeah. Well, we're welcome here, guys. I think I got another show I got to do. You son of a bitch, Ralph. Oh, I heard enough. That fucking song's going to be a goddamn hit like in Taiwan. I'm going to get all that Taiwan royalties.
Well, I'm sure the peanut allergy people will love it.
Yeah, TikTok. Thank you, visionary Dustin.
Just put it on there. You know, do like a lip sync of it on there on TikTok, and dude, you don't ever know. You could be blown up like soon.
Well, Dustin, when we had Shaggy on, he talked about he did this thing called the banana drop, where you just have to drop your sunglasses to the beat of the song, and that got 5 billion views. So let's try.
It's wild,
that.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, he's also Shaggy. And
but why don't you do this? Film people with peanut allergies eating peanuts. And that'll be the hook. Killing people.
Oh, my gosh.
Ralph, I think we had a good run here. Dustin, any interest in starting the Nashville Beats and Cubs podcast to be competition to the sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Let's do this shit. I'm ready.
It's possible.
The fifth man on this team anyway. It's time to go, buddy.
I love it, man.
But to get back to it, what I do like, correct me if I'm wrong here, all of this has been independent. You never signed with a major label. You never... Right. Everything's on your own, which is unheard of, really, right?
Yeah. Never signed. When some of the first songs came out and started to hit, all the labels started calling me, which is quite interesting. But they're not, I just don't think they were really interested at the time in working with somebody who was probably from their point of view a little older than who they wanted to grab. So, which I'm cool with because I kind of held my own and we went through it all. And now, you know, my life has been changed by, you know, just kind of staying the course there.
When I listen to the songs, by the way, you obviously have influence in rock and roll. You have influence in like pop, you know, power poppy stuff. What do you want to call it? Some new wave, old school. You have a lot of different influences. Do you constantly go listen for new sounds, new people doing different things? Or you just kind of stay internal with what you want to do?
When I'm kind of in like a writing or album mode, like, the only thing I listen to is like stuff that I feel like can't really influence what I'm kind of doing musically because I don't want to accidentally pull something somewhere and put it in a song and then realize later, oh shit, I actually just ripped that off subconsciously because I heard it. I've had to change. I was about to release a song year before last and I heard another song and I was like, this is like literally the exact thing. And I had never even heard the song before. So sometimes that stuff even happens. Wow. And I was like, okay, rewrite. Here we go.
You know, it's funny that happened. James, that happens a lot, I guess, in comedy too, where you have a bit and then you hear someone else do something similar. Do you pull the plug on that? Or you try and rework it? What do you do?
Yeah.
I challenge him to the parking lot, bro. I think you just heard the last 6 minutes after you fucking ridiculed the song. You son of a bitch, I'm fighting everybody. Look at that delivery. I'm in. You're hired. You know, the rule is whoever gets it on TV first, I ain't going to front. I'm not going to start nothing. I had a bit sitting again on my first album and then someone did basically the same thing on a TV show. And I had to, work with my team, which is just me, on think about what we were going to do. And I
it's funny because I think on the first to TV made sense maybe years ago. I don't think that makes sense anymore.
With content now, yeah. With
the way content is, it should just be look for the date on whenever it was uploaded anywhere. I don't know if that's fair. Kind of weird.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, I think in music, there's a threshold to like, what do you want to do about it? Like if something is sounds the same, what feels like the right thing to do. I had a song that I released and it was one of my probably least listened to songs. And about 3 months later, Ariana Grande came out with a song that was basically the same lyric and same melody. And wow. She would have never have heard my song. You know, would I have had first light rights to it was on Spotify first? I don't know. Maybe. Is it worth going to court over? No. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, and the same with comedy is that a lot of people just think the same way. Like something happens in the news or something, and the chances are a few people are going to have the same joke or the same thought, right. You know, which is kind of weird. I never knew. Now I'm not a comic. So I'm always fascinated by how they decide who gets the rights to the bit, you know, when it's questionable who came out with it first.
Sure.
We try to do it civically. And then I gave up a joke once. It's hilarious. And then 10 years later, I'm having drinks with this guy. And he goes, you stole a bit from me 10 years ago. I'm like, yo, I just picked up the tab, $200. And we're all out of a job because of a pandemic. I'm going to smack you in the mouth right now, son. 10 years ago, stupid. You're still doing that joke, too. And I'm doing other shit. Well, I've got a band that's going to get ridiculed on a podcast in 8 months, motherfucker. I'm a callback machine. You can't stop me.
That's fucking
Dustin,
great.
You're from Illinois. I'm like Marcus Liberty in the 90s. I'm just taking it to the hoop.
Nice, man. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I always love because I know nothing about sports. So James is always good for the sports references. I know fucking nothing about sports.
I could make up shit to Ralph. I could be
I would agree with you. I'm like, yeah, that was good.
Point guard for the Globetrotters. He'd be like, all right.
Sounds good to me. Why not? All right. So now I want to get into the new album, talk about the new single, etc. But also, I know you recorded a song for us as well, right?
Yeah, I did. Last night, my guys were over here. We set up the studio. We recorded an acoustic version of Holy Water, which is the single coming out Friday.
All right, great. So we're going to play it right now, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the new album. It is brand new acoustic Holy Water from Zayd Wolf on the SDR show.
Did we do a bad thing? Look into my eyes, tell me what it is you see. I know it's been a mad day, living on the edge. The world is tearing at the seams, yeah. Tell me, is it blood on my lips? Tell me, cause I know I can't quit. And if I'm paying for these sins, I'm gonna need that holy water. Like a bad dream, drifting in my head. I wonder if the nightmare's true. But you know I like the madness, playing with the fire and living with the monsters too. Yeah, yeah. Tell me, is it love on your lips? Tell me, cause I'm losing my grip. And if I'm paying for these sins, I'm gonna need your hope. Am I losing it? These chains in my head keep on proving it. The heavens demand we keep doing it. But I guess I'm gonna need that holy water. Holy water, I'm gonna need it, I'm gonna need it.
I do. Thank you so much for doing that, first of all.
Yeah,
Do you rework your songs acoustically often?
Well, sometimes. We did some songs that we called reimagined. I worked with my buddy Nick, who's actually playing piano in what we recorded for you guys. And we do like a reimagined versions of some of the songs where we sort of reinterpret them with strings and orchestra type stuff. But this is the first one we've done acoustic. Yeah, yeah. This is the first one we've done like acoustic, like kind of live in the studio. It was challenging, but a lot of fun. It was cool sort of rearranging the song and doing it like brand new.
That's pretty awesome. So now tell me a little bit about the name of the new album is called Neon Blood Type. Let's start off with, what does that even mean?
Yeah, well, we went through a lot of names for the album. We wanted something that sort of sounded kind of out there and also kind of epic at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think it's not anything necessarily pulled from, you know, the pandemic or any of that stuff with getting vaccinations. But I was thinking that more along the lines that this is like some people have like something really special inside them, or everyone has something really special inside them, is actually how I should probably say that. And it's kind of like your blood just glows with something, you know. So that's kind of like, that's the backbone of that. And I think there's a couple of songs that really are at like, have a really cool gritty, you know, came from small town, like where I came from nothing, work your way up, keep trying for it. Like, so that's kind of what that's what it really kind of means. But I hope people find out what it means to them more than kind of what I say.
That's always a thing about music, is when you let your fans interpret it and how either they get it spot on or they get it completely wrong. It's kind of interesting. As long as it speaks to them, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
So now the full album is coming out in May, right? It's funny. I look at some of your songs on Spotify, fucking 30 million, 25 million. It's crazy how you blew the fuck up. It's nuts.
I don't even know, man. I think there's a couple of things that I think happened along the way. There were some little bits of like fandom within either sports teams who maybe heard the song associated, and then they go listen to that song, where there was some video game campaigns that we did. And, you know, those people are diehard, and they're like, you know, if they hear a song like in a video game trailer, they're like, oh, I got to find out what this song is. So there's some little pockets and stuff like that happened that kind of did these little viral bumps. And I've never had any of these. I've never had like a huge spike in anything. It's just been these little consistent little builds up, you know, and that's been really fun to kind of watch happen. I'm floored that many people listen to my songs. It's amazing.
It is. It is great to see. I mean, it's so cool to see. I mean, 34 million for Gladiator. It's nuts how fucking popular it all is. When do you have a plan to take this out on the road, if you can, this year?
Maybe I wouldn't say like a full tour, but I think that we would like to do some really kind of special type events. I don't know exactly what those are yet, but I think especially after playing with the guys this past week, we did some rehearsal stuff here and actually putting a band together around it. It's like, this just actually sounds really fun and great to play together with some guys again. And then you kind of get the itch. You're like, what can we do with it? So
you think you'd be interested in opening for James on the Peanut Allergy Tour at all?
Totally, totally, totally.
You're going to have to send me a tape. I mean, we're really stingy about who we have up front here. Why don't you get a hold of my people, which again is me, and we can figure something out. You know, we can go to lunch.
I love it.
Again, the new album is Neon Blood Type. It is out now. Shannon, I want to ask this man the first, and then we'll wrap this up.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
Hey, it's Ralph. You may notice I look a little different right now. So here's what happened. Zayd has decided that he didn't want to answer the questions after answering them. I'm not an asshole. I'm not going to force it to air. His management called us and said he preferred them not to air. If you want to get his answers to the first, DM him on Instagram or just ask him, but I'm not going to be a douchebag. He's a really nice dude. Music's cool. So what are we going to do? He changed his mind. It is what it is. So we're skipping over the first for the first time in history because I'm not an asshole. Shannon might be an asshole, but I'm not an asshole. All right, so we're just going to skip over the answers and just go straight to the plugs to wrap this up. Thanks and sorry. All right, so again, the new album, Neon Blood Type, is out first week of May. We end the show every week with a song of the week. We'll do Madness because it was the last single that you released prior to the one you just played on the show. And of course, go to your website. You can go to Zaid Wolf on Instagram. Am I leaving out anything, Dustin, before we wrap this up?
No, I think that's great. We've got some new merchandise and some cool stuff that we're actually developing that's going to be released with the album. And I think it's going to be really fun. There's some stuff I'm going to send you guys. So I'll make sure I get with the PR team to get you guys a package sent out.
That's awesome. And I'm assuming in that package will also be our new theme song. James, your plugs?
Okay. V James Madden on Instagrams. Get up on that. V James Madden. The Commissioner of Comedy Podcast. Blowing up. It's about the passion of comedy. We had canceling, we had bullying, we had the looks episode. Check that shit out. Also, my new album, stand-up album's coming out. It's called The Check Spot. Me doing comedy, a question and answer with a drunk audience while they pay their bills. It's suicide, but I do it. It's dope.
Nice.
And go get sessions. Don't worry what everyone else says. And get to the hook. Listen to the hook. I'm the shit, and I got an album. Wait, I'm going to come out.
Wait, we have a couple minutes, Shannon. Says. Shannon, we have a couple minutes. Can you pull up the hook?
Look,
I feel that James is mad at me.
People shit on the Velvet Underground too, baby. I'm the comedy Lou Reed, motherfucker.
While Shannon's looking, Ani, can you do your plugs and we'll go to Shannon?
Sure. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Ani_Moush. That's MOUSH. And check out my website at AniMooshMedia.com.
Okay. And Ani, don't be afraid to put on your camera. You can put your camera on once in a while. I'm not mean.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
That's enough, Ani. Camera off. Right, Shannon, do you want to do your plugs? Or did you find it? Whichever you want to do first, Shannon.
I'll do my plugs first, and then we'll go to this. Follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
Great. Do you believe in ghosts, Dustin?
Do I? Man, I feel like I saw one when I was younger, so I have to say maybe, probably.
Yeah. All right, it's a good answer. Make Shannon happy. Whenever she hears that, she gets so happy, Shannon. All right,
yeah,
Shannon, let's
weird.
Let's
let Zaid give her.
Zaid's got to hear the hook. So let's hear the hook.
Let's do it.
I meant people do it as homework to go download the goddamn song, bro.
That's not how it's happening.
Machine. I'm
That's not
Rhodes.
How it's happening, buddy.
All right, I'm going to pick it up where we left off.
Back home in Vegas, doctor never seen it before. My family brought me to the hospital redder than a lobster.
A little bit like hi, my name is.
Doctor was like,
bit, right?
I've seen this before. Maybe you got an alien.
Hi, my name is. What?
Embarrassed.
My name is.
I can die from it. This is probably how I'm going to die. What a non-manly, non-alpha way to die. But here's the positive side.
Yo, what if I lied? What if it's 8 minutes? No,
that's the only saving grace.
Yeah, right.
I can only imagine at my funeral, people discussing it. Yo, that dude is soft. Strong. That's it.
I like that.
Yeah, because I'm talented, Ralph. God damn it. I know I'm not Gino out here talking about like fucking conspiracies, but I'm a fucking heart and soul, baby.
I like it. I liked it. And that part of the hook was good. Zaid?
Oh, man. Quite the change right then. I was like, hey, hold up.
All right. So I say, James, you redeemed yourself, okay?
Dustin's on board. Baby. I always do.
All right. So we'll play Madness now. We'll add it to the playlist of the SDR show. Honestly, dude, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness is called Good Sugar. Shannon just ate at the Good Sugar restaurant today. Am I right?
Yep. Look, I have the cover of the smoothie right here.
Oh, good. And I haven't shown my book in a while. Number 77 on Amazon, baby. The 100% guaranteed guide to health and fitness or weight loss and fitness. Page one says eat less. Page two says work out more. And the rest of the book is blank. And I thank you all for being purchasing that and getting it to the top 100 on Amazon. Thank you so much, dude. And we'll see you next week on the SDR show.
I loved it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, everybody. Before we get out of here, if you enjoy this podcast, you might enjoy some of the other podcasts on GasDigitalNetwork.com. This week, we are highlighting The Josta Show with host, lead singer from Hatebreed, Jamie Josta. You can find the full catalog of episodes on demand at GasDigitalNetwork.com or catch the latest 20 episodes anywhere you find podcasts. Here's a clip, and I think you're going to enjoy it.
great time hanging out with Jimmy Bauer once when I met him, and we got fucking handcuffed and sat on a curb outside of a bar together. That was great.
Why?
He was like talking to some girl. He came to an Eaton show. I've never met him, by the way. He's like in the back room, just like being Jimmy Bauer-ish. He's like, let's go to a bar. Me and you, let's go to a bar. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to go to a bar, Jimmy Bauer. So we walk to this bar, like near the venue. He gets fucking hammered, starts hitting on a girl. The girl's boyfriend like kind of steps in. Jimmy Bauer says something to her, like super offensive. She slaps him, his fake teeth come out, and she fucking steps on him. So he like goes fucking full, like raging mad, and starts just like pushing the boyfriend and like just screaming. And so they called the cops, and me and Jimmy Bauer got handcuffed and sat outside, and then they just let us go. But I never saw him again either.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.